biggest little radio on the air. On the air.
Are you ready?
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Robert Perea, the editor and publisher of the Fernley Reporter, and thank you for joining us today on Biggest Little Radio. In studio with us today, a special guest, City Councilman Cal Ehrlich, and coming to the end of your term tomorrow night, your last meeting.
Yes, I am, Robert. In fact, the countdown is on. It's about 17 hours to go.
So, any special things here for in mind for your last meeting tomorrow night?
Well, actually, I've got a lot of mixed feelings. You know, I've enjoyed the job as a city councilman, although at times it's been a bit challenging because these last decade has been really a hard economic time, especially here in Fernley. You know, we were the fastest growing city per capita in America the first quarter of 2006, and within 2 years after that, we were the hardest hit city in America on housing.
So when you decided to run for the council back then, you stepped into kind of a situation that turned out to be a little bit different maybe than what you thought it was going to be when you started your campaign?
Well, actually, I took over for a retiring councilman who was my predecessor, Councilman Ralph Menke. And he retired from the job a little bit early, and so I had a little bit of a term to fill his, a little less than a year. That's why I've been serving almost 9 years. I've been involved with the city since the city was a city, actually. I've been at, the old town, meetings for many years, and then city council meetings. Knew every councilman well who's ever served for the city, every mayor well. I was really one of the voices out there in 2007, because I'm a builder. I'm a developer here in Fernley. I built about 300 homes here in Fernley, so I know the economy here well. And so I was one of the people that was actively trying to stop the water treatment plant in those days. The council, I feel every one of those councilmen felt they were doing the best thing for the city, although I don't believe that they really understood the total cost they were getting into at the time. So by the time I became a councilman, the water treatment plant was already under construction. There was no stopping it. The interesting thing is there weren't many people in that room when the council in 2007 made that decision to go forward. And they had to. There was a federal mandate. It was laid out by Bill Clinton as a parting shot when he left as president on the arsenic. And so it went on for years, and the city finally was in a position where they had to do something. I felt that they had a better course, a less expensive course, but they didn't see it that way, and they made their decision. It's funny, the citizens really caught on to what was going on when the water rates in those days started going up drastically. They went up almost 180% between 2008 and 2010. And that's when the people get upset, is when it shows up in their water bill. And so people need to pay attention to their government. Just because it's a representative government doesn't mean you can just ignore it.
So you came into office and water rates went up, and now you're leaving office and water rates are going up again.
Oh, it was so interesting. Yeah, here I was the guy first tried to stop it, then had to figure out how to pay for it, and we had to kick the can down the road. We had to, because times were hard. We raised the rates the last time in 2012, only 3%, but we've had to put on a property tax, to help offset the bond, because that's a community commitment. And we've held the line, we've held cost as much as we can, but things go up. The cost of employees go up. Energy goes up to run the plants. And it's been 4 years since the water increase, and we kicked the can down the road. We didn't do a lot of projects we should be doing to maintain the system. We do not want to be another Flint, Michigan. We have to take care of our water treatment plant here.
You mentioned being a builder and having built homes in this community. And that's one of the things that was interesting to me during the discussions that the city had with the water study that ended up turning into the rate increase that the council approved last month. You've disputed the growth rates that are included that study was basically built upon. What are you seeing that you see differently than the consultant did?
Well, it was a struggle because when I read the report, and it was a very lengthy report. It was well put together, and that it showed us really the expenses that we were about to incur. We have to build up an emergency fund. We have to take care of some of the current infrastructure problems, and we just can't ignore them. And so here are all the costs ahead. Here's the projections of money we have to raise. And they use the growth rate of 35 new homes a year here to bait for the next 5 years. And for that reason, I voted against accepting the rate study based upon that, because I felt their growth projections were way off. And at the high here, Fernley was building 800 houses a year here for a few years. I feel that the growth rate, the honest growth rate, sustainable growth rate here, an average growth rate could be about 300 homes. Now that we're emerging from the economy and the mortgage crisis and everything, and there are so many jobs. There are 50,000 jobs going over to Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. And a lot of those people are going to need places to live in Fernley. I mean, they really should take a right turn at USA Parkway and come to Fernley instead of going to Reno. Growth's going to come here if we enable it and provide it at a decent cost. And so even 300 homes a year is about just under a 5% growth rate for Fernley. I believe that's sustainable. That's the number. That's 10 times what they used. So they did the rate increases based upon half a percent growth rate. And the city council knows that. But they're going to trust. They want to be a little conservative right now. And they need to build up their war chest. But I looked over at them. I voted. It was a 5-0 vote to institute the rate increases. And I can tell you every member of that council up there, that was one of the hardest things they ever had to do. Because, the city of Fernley owns its own utility. The city councilmen that serve, when they raise rates, they're raising it not only on themselves, their families, and their friends. And so we represent the people here in Fernley. And it was hard for every person to vote yes on that. I guarantee you, they labored over that decision. And I looked down the line at them, and I asked them to promise me that they would keep an eye on the growth rates. And if it's really going to end up like I think it is here in the next year or two, I believe the city council is in a position to where they could actually put a hold on further rate increases 2 or 3 years down the road if they see that, you know what, we're over collecting based upon too low of a growth rate.
Well, isn't it better to project a low growth rate, and then if it happens, then that's just a surplus and a bonus?
Well, from the standpoint of the city coffers, yes. From the standpoint of what comes out of the citizens' water bills in Fernley, no. I mean, this impacts our citizens. And it was hard on the council to do that kind of an impact on the citizens here. And there's a lot of people on fixed incomes here. We understand that. But to those people, as hard as it is to say this, no one ever promised prices were going to stay the same once you retired. And there's got to be, this is America. There's always a way to earn some extra income for most folks.
So aside from the water rate increases and the water treatment plant, the 9 years that you've spent on the council, what are some of the things that you've achieved or that you feel good about, or what are some of the things that you wish had been done a little bit differently?
Well, the things that we achieved is we actually had a balanced budget in this city, and it was painful. In 2009 and 2010, we had to lay off a lot of city staff. That was hard to do. That's real people. That's people who live in our community. And so it's always a challenge when you have to cut budgets. We did that. We held the cost through the rough times. We saw the city through the possibly the worst economic time since the Great Depression. So I'm proud of that, that the city is still financially stable. And you know, that the city belongs to all the citizens here. You know, people sometimes will attack the city for lining its pockets, and somehow they think and councilmen are making pocket money. That's not the case. That just does not happen. Everybody that serves on that council does with a good heart and have the citizens in mind.
Well, what can the city do to attract more business growth and to ensure that some of those people that get jobs at the industrial park come here instead of go to Reno or Sparks or somewhere else in the region?
Government's job, in my opinion, their job as far as growth is concerned is just to enable it by having good policies. And, you know, there has to be regulations, but they have to be business-friendly regulations. And then they need to get the heck out of the way, because business will come here if it's not over-regulated and taxed to death.
How does the city compare to some of the other municipalities around as far as their business policies?
You know, not too bad. You know, our business license fees, even though we just had to restructure the whole thing so it's based upon gross receipts, that was a hard one for me to swallow. Really has, because I've been a businessman in this county for 25 years now. I've had a business licenses here, and it was hard for me to go get rid of the old system because it was simple. You send in your $100 or $300 or whatever, but the business license fees, they're pretty low still compared to other municipalities in the area. And all in all, Fernley is a good place to do business, and good friendly atmosphere here. Low crime rates, good schools. I believe people will, as they're discovering, I should say rediscovering Fernley again, because don't forget, when we were the fastest growing city in America in 2006 per capita, there weren't thousands of jobs coming here. People were moving here just to live here because they liked Fernley. So we just need to provide a good, stable government, good infrastructure, and get the heck out of the way.
Well, have you built homes in other areas outside of Fernley and compare how those jurisdictions do business?
I've worked in just about every jurisdiction in Northern Nevada. I've done both commercial and residential. And we've had some challenges here in the city of Fernley. And I took some arrows about a year and a half ago, kind of leading the charge on reorganizing it. I believe right now we have the best staff we've ever had and the best processes we've ever had to submit building permits, to get approvals, and to move forward. And same with planning, too.
So one of the things in your time on the council the last few years, you served as the mayor pro tem. Tell us a little bit about what that means and what you do there.
Well, what that means is if the mayor happens to be gone, you end up having signing authority. You assume the duties of the mayor of the Fernley if the mayor is absent. Could be for health reasons or they're traveling out of town and stuff. But I got to tell you, our last two mayors have been on the job. Since Mayor Edgington has been mayor, I have not got to run one meeting. And you know, I've had to run a few sections of it here and there, but he's pretty much a full-time mayor, and so there hasn't been much for me to do. As the senior council member all these years, I've been an advisor to other council members and given history, and you know, it's important to know history so you don't repeat mistakes. So I've been there to kind of provide some continuity to not only since the 9 years almost I've been on the council, but since before the city of Fernley was incorporated. And you know, the water issues here, I happen to have knowledge clear back to the mid-90s on those.
Okay, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes after a short commercial break.
Vegas Little Radio is now on iTunes. Click on the Internet Radio tab. Click on Top 40, scroll down to Vegas Little Radio, and stream live loud and proud. Back to the music in minutes.
Okay, everybody, I'm Robert Perea with the Fernley Reporter. I'm here with retiring City Councilman Cal Ehrlich. Another question to follow up on what I asked you right before the break, but What are some of the things the city can do? It seems like there's a lot of people think that the city doesn't do enough to bring business here, and there's a lot of things that people would like to see come in here, and you know, what should the city be doing?
Well, if you're talking about retail businesses, like stores, restaurants, things like that, they follow rooftops. And, you know, some of the stores that opened up here in 07, 06 struggled to hang on through the big recession because they came in here betting on the come, and then development stopped. And so the way development really works, it starts with jobs or a really great place to live, work, and play. Okay, that's what brings rooftops. Retail follows the rooftops. We need to get back to building and developing Fernley because we're kind of in a tweener. We started developing on a big growth rate. And you know, when Walmart moved here, that was huge. It was the first time we could ever buy a pair of underwear in the city of Fernley. I mean, that was a big deal. And but then a lot of things just stopped. And so some of the stores that did come here ended up closing down because there wasn't enough business for them. And so we need to get the development engine going here again, because Fernley is in this kind of tweener state. We got about 20,000, just under 20,000 people living here right now. And for the retail that we really want, we need about 25,000-30,000 people to support that retail. So building rooftops is the answer to that. As far as the city going out and saying, hey, can you build this retail store here? Well, we don't have anything to give them. We can't give them a tax break. We can't give them any incentive for their business. That's done at a county level. And so we can't subsidize a business, but we can just try to show them how to build their place of business. But they need people living here to make their business successful.
You had one more term available to you under term limits. You could have run again, and you chose not to. Why did you choose not to run again?
A couple of reasons. One is, and I'm going to miss parts of being on the city council. Of course, it's been an honor to serve the citizens of Fernley. But yes, I could have run for one more term, but I made a personal decision because I have another job besides being on the city council, and then I'm active building some houses here on a limited basis. But my true passion, I travel too much. I travel all over this country several times a month. Running the Cowboy Fast Draw Association. We have about 5,000 members, 80 clubs coast to coast and in other countries. And that's become my passion because I started competitive shooting when I was 15 years old in 1968. And I've been at it all these years. And I used to be on the United States pistol team. And I've done all different types of shooting sports. But my passion is building the Cowboy Fast Draw Association, which is based here in Fernley. This is where our main office is. We publish our Gunslinger's Gazette that goes all over the country from here and other countries. And so I just simply travel too much to juggle, you know, doing my job as a city councilman the way I really need to be doing it. I've had to balance that. And so it's time for, you know, somebody needs to be here. You know, being a city council more is way more than just showing up for two meetings a month. I can guarantee that. When you count up all the hours you spend doing research, having other meetings that the public knows nothing about, because you're meeting with various government agencies. Most of the council have jobs they do, reporting to boards and things, meeting with citizens, and just generally studying things. Being a city councilman actually is a pretty sizable job. Takes up a lot of time, and when you're not actually physically doing it, you're thinking about it. So I just had to make some personal decisions, and it was better for me to move on.
So when you're traveling for the Fast Draw Association, are you competing in tournaments? Are you organizing things? You know, what type of things do you do?
Well, I'm the executive director of the organization, and so I actually maintain the rule book, keep all the records, and publish the Gazette with my daughter Erica. She is the editor of the Gazette, and it's a full thing for my family. My son helps us. My wife works in the office all day, talking to members all over the country, and so it's just really keeping the sport organized. And I do compete still on a limited basis, and yeah, I've had the honor of winning 17 World Fast Draw Championships and several other titles in other sports and everything. I was a National Cowboy Action Shooting Champion 1 year, and it's just, I still actively compete, but my real mind is on more running the organization these days, administrating it.
Do you have competitions held locally here at all?
Oh, yes. We have a great club right here in Fernley, and friendly people. And if anybody's interested in finding out more about us, it's at www.cowboyfastdraw.com, and you can find out all kinds of information about our sport.
So what are you actually shooting? What type of guns? And
well, what it is, our sport honors the romance and the legend of the Old West. And so we actually compete under aliases. The real me is Quick Cal. That's what people know me by all over this country. And we have an alias that we compete under. We know people. We know them by their alias. Sometimes people say, hey, do you know so-and-so? And we go, well, no, I don't. Because they don't give us their alias, but it ends up as somebody that we know real well. We have dinner together. We spend weekends together. We get to know the real people. And that's part of the fun of what we do. We dress Western in the spirit of the Old West. We shoot single action revolvers. It means you got to cock the hammer and squeeze the trigger in order to fire it. And we use special ammunition that's just wax bullets. But those wax bullets move as fast as live ammo. Archery netting stops them dead in their tracks. We shot right here at the out-of-town park during 4th of July a few years ago, and they let the public come and try it and things. But it's a very safe sport. It's a very family-orientated sport, and it's done in the spirit of the game in the Old West. It is competitive, but our motto is safety first, fun second, and competition is third. So we put things in order.
Stationary target shooting or on horseback or both, or how does that work?
No, it's a stationary target. What you have to do, okay, you start with your holstered six gun and your opponent standing directly next to you. Guns are never pointed at one another. So you each have a target 21 feet downrange. It's a big target. It's 24 inches. But that thing is hard to hit when you're reacting to the light that's in the center of that target, draw firing and trying to hit that target with a wax bullet. It's a hard target to hit on the draw at a competitive speed. And if you can react to the light, draw fire, and hit that target in less than a half a second with some degree of difficulty, you'll be very competitive in the sport. You'll place very high in tournaments. In order to be competitive at a world-class level, you have to be able to react to the light, draw fire, around 4/10 of a second or even less into what we call the threes, even approaching a third of a second.
And how many times are you hitting the target in that?
You fire only one shot per draw. Uh-huh. But what happens is the announcer gives the command, shooters on the line, shooters set. And those lights will come on the targets 2 to 5 seconds after the word set is spoken. No one knows when, so you have to react to the light, draw fire, and hit the target. And you do it so at the same time as your opponent does. And the first shooter to hit the target wins the shot, and their light comes back on blinking. It goes out when you hit it and then comes back on blinking, indicating the winner. When you win three shots, you do that, you know, at least three times. If you win three in a row, you win the round. And it can go for a number of shots, because sometimes there's some misses involved, you know, because you're trying to go for speed. First shooter to win three shots wins the round. The loser gets an X. And depending on the size of the tournament, in our world championship that we hold in Fallon every year, when you get four X's, you're out of the tournament. But there's all kinds of consolation tournaments, and so no one ever gets left standing around feeling sorry for themselves. It's a lot of fun.
How many members are in the association? How many people do you get competing at these championships?
Well, I took over the reins of the organization in 2006. And it had just under 300 members. We are now pushing 5,000 members coast to coast in 80 clubs. And so each club will have anywhere from, some of them are small, they may have a dozen members. Other clubs have near 100 members.
Is there a local club?
Yeah, there's the Great Basin Gunhawks located here in Fernley. And they have about 40 members. And you know, at their Saturday matches, we're having actually one this weekend on Saturday. Out on my barn on Farm District Road. And if somebody's interested, give us a call. at 575-1802. We'll give you directions how to get there.
How'd you get involved in this?
Well, I started competitive shooting at the age of 15 in 1968. Wow, you just figured out how old I was. But it changed my life, literally, because of the quality of people I was able to introduce myself and get to know. And the shooters in all the shooting sports are some of the best people you can ever know. They're there to help you. Just a wonderful group of people. But it really shaped my entire life. I moved to Northern Nevada in the early 70s because I could drive to Phoenix for a shoot, or I could drive up to Oregon for a shoot, kind of overnight thing. So I was centrally located. So I moved to Northern Nevada just because it was this in the center of all the shooting out west. And I ended up making my home here and raising a great family here right in Fernley.
If somebody's interested in getting involved, how do they find out about it?
Just dial 575-1802, and that's the main CFDA office. You'll be talking to my wife. Her real name's Dinah, but she's known in our game as a lot of lead.
A lot of lead.
Yeah, well, she's a graphic artist. You'll see some of her work hanging in some of the offices here in Fernley.
You mentioned the Gunslinger's Gazette. What is that?
Well, we come out with 5 publications a year, and we have one in the spring, and then we do one every other month during the high time of the year. Then we just came out with our fall edition that we're going to be sticking in the mail in the next few days with our new rule book. So that's just the communication for our organization nationwide.
So we have about a minute left. So now your term as the councilman coming to an end, and just basically how would you sum up the past 9 years as a councilman then?
Interesting. It's been interesting. The people I've got to work with and meet has been very rewarding. Sometimes it's the people who live here. They have to depend on the councilmen to represent them. I believe the people that live here have to understand that the councilmen are trying to do the best job they can on behalf of you. They study the issues. They vote their conscience, but they also have to pay the bills. And so it's a tough job for any person. And I hope most people get involved in public office here some way, whether it's the fire board, the school board, the fire district, the pool board we have here. There's a lot of ways for the community to get involved in local what's going on here in Fernley.
Well, thank you for joining us. That's retiring City Councilman Cal Alrich. I'm Robert Perea, the publisher of the Fernley Reporter. You can, if you want to listen to this again, or if you missed it live, you can listen on the podcast page at fernleyreporter.com or biggestlittleradio.com. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.